Whether it's dealings with social media posts and China or cattle markets pulling back, a lot of factors weighing in for a Wednesday trade action. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and Sue Martin joins us today. Sue is with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. And I wanted to start out because you have such a pulse on what's happening in the soybean market, Sue, and we know that, again, a comment came out yesterday from the president, and looking at what's happening with the negotiations with China, he's talking about vegetable oils. And what's your takeaway? What should our growers be really looking at with all these different comments coming back and forth?
Well, I think first off, President Trump coming back with talking about banning the imports of used cooking oil from China, that basically isn't going to have near the impact that it would have. Basically, you know, they're bringing in or exporting into the U.S. maybe 30 to 40,000 metric tons a month. And where before we were getting like 1.27 billion metric tons a month. So it isn't going to be quite near the number. And then also the 45Z regulations that talk of changing things there and, you know, feedstock or food stock for that basically was going to be, you know, they'd only get 50% of the RINs and had already talked about used cooking oil. So, you know, yes, the U.S. can come up with their own used cooking oil. And also the fact that the Chinese cooking oil that comes in is tending to go into California to in their renewable diesel plants. So it may not have near the impact that it almost just sounds like a muted response in a way. And so he was saying something, but the markets didn't really respond so much to that. I think the beans caught a better response off of the NOPA crush. And the NOPA crush came out of surprise today. And the beans lifted after that. Now they're kind of watering back down again. But the crush came out at 197.9 million bushels. And the trade was expecting 186.3, so much greater than what the trade thought. And that also would compare to 177.3 million bushels for the month of September back in 2024. So a huge number that came out for the crush. And soy oil stocks, while a touch higher than what the trade was thinking, still the market responded positively to that crush. And then soy meal production came in at 4.7 million short tons. And that was a little higher than the average trade guess as well, which was 4.513 million short tons. And then also, yes, higher than last year's September soy meal production of 4.165 million short tons. So the meal is a little firmer, soy oil a little firmer, but given up some of what it's gained here this morning. And then the beans just starting to waterfall back down after having been over 10.10. Still holding the $10 level psychologically. And of course, we have, 11 trading sessions left before November. You know, we go into the first day of delivery and you know, we've got options that'll expire, and open interest on November beans is still the largest of all the contracts. And of course, some 31% of that total open interest might disappear when the options expire. But still, that option expiration is a week and a half away. So I think the bean market also is looking at good yields coming out of the harvest, and the harvest, of course, gaining speed. And, you know, it's thought that we're over 60% harvested now. And, you know, thinking that still the yields seem to be pretty good. So if we were getting a WASDE report, it might be in that 52, 53 bushel per acre yield estimate is kind of how the trade is looking at that.
So how are you seeing the movement of grains going forward in this unsureness of the world we're in between the government shutdown and tariff negotiations still going on? What type of thoughts are there when it comes to marketing these crops?
Well, it's interesting you say that or ask that, because just in the last few days, it doesn't matter. I've talked to people out of North Dakota. I've talked to people out of Nebraska, people within Iowa, and they're all looking at, they all had the similar, in fact, almost identically same comments that they need to generate cash. They don't want to pay storage. And with interest rates where they are, they feel that they're better off moving the corn, for example, over beans and storing beans, but moving the corn. And so I've already started seeing that here, where some called back in and have already started doing this. But the interesting thing is, when I look at the really long term, quarterly data, which, you know, takes time, but on the soybeans, my quarterly data has some beautiful chart formations on it that has been good ever since the late 90s, and especially since 2016, 15. This formation, usually it's like a congestion, we're against a major trend line, and all of a sudden the market explodes. You know, it moves up, then it comes back in that congestion, and then all of a sudden it gets explosive. But I will say, and when I look at my long-term, very long-term data, we're very overdone on my indicators as well, which implies to me that somewhere along the way in 26, things will get better. But it may take us another month or two, maybe into early January, before we start to see things respond a little better. And yes, Brazil's got some dryness in center Brazil and northern Brazil. And those are two areas that normally don't get real dry, especially if there's a little bit of a La Nina impact. But to be honest, you know, they're looking at a huge expansion of beans down there. So that too could come into play for a little bit. But it's usually after they get into November that they start to really catch the rains that mean so much to their crops anyway. So I would look at Brazilian weather being watched as we go forward. We know they're probably going to pull off a huge crop again. We have, you know, of course, China absent from our market. And we're starting off, you know, with very little buying here from China. In fact, none, as far as we know. And so I guess I would have to say that the market just looks to me like we could still flounder here. We might come back down to 980, something like that. Beans this year have had an inside range year, higher low and a lower high. And so that to me is like an uncertainty. But again, I go back to that long-term chart, and that spells something optimistic on in the coming future, which I would say we probably got to get into 26 before we really see it start to explode. But I'm watching these indicators very closely.
Let's quickly look at what's going on in the livestock. A bit of a pullback happening in the cattle complex today.
Well, it's trying. You know, it's pretty muted. You know, I would have to say we've had 8 consecutive higher closes. And so today's setback, you know, I would have to say it might be because we caught those 10 deliveries that were tendered in Amarillo yesterday afternoon. But to be honest, I would have to say the market's acting very good. You know, every contract here, be it whether it's the feeder cattle or the fats, every cattle contract has now set new all-time highs. So there's one more domino to fall, and that would be the August contract high, which was 246.77, and you know, which came on August 27th, and that is the highest contract for a fat futures contract that we've had this year. And so that, I think, is the target now for the October futures to go after. And I think we'll do it. The cutout this week or today at noon was higher. So that was a plus. I think choice gained $2.11. at 266.53, and that's the highest we've had thus far since October 1st. And then I look at, you know, the negotiated Fed cattle trade this week. Pretty much everybody expects it to come in stronger, and I would think so too. So I look at this market, and the one thing I would caution is that even if we go and make, which I think we'll do, I may be wrong, but I think we'll go after that 246.77 and attack it. I think it'll come out, but we also have to keep an eye on the cattle doing this, because in years similar to this, going all the way back to 1975-76, in years similar, there's only been four other years besides this one where the June contract set the highs for the year, and then the August came on forward and took that high out. Well, you know, there was only one of them out of those other four that went on and made higher highs again, and that was the year of 2014, or excuse me, 23-24. And 2014 was the market rallied, taking out that August high, contract high, all the way into November that year. But then when we broke all the way into February 24th for like the April contract of the next year. And we didn't make higher highs that year, just 23-24. But, you know, everybody's expecting that this cattle market's going to just rock and roll and in the next, you know, quarter beyond the one we're in. That may happen. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised that once we get into the last half of November, maybe, that we see the border open with Mexico for cattle. This Dectamax CA one is a drug that they've been using Dectamax, but this new one that they've added and approved, I would imagine they're sending that across the border to get those cattle inoculated. It takes 21 days, is my understanding. And I would imagine we're going to use it here as well. And so I think when they get that, having done that, they'll open the border feeling more confident. And then the next thing is President Lula and President Trump are supposed to be meeting. I haven't seen a date yet when they're going to do this, but it's supposed to be fairly soon. Well, you know, President Lula wants President Trump to drop 40% of those tariffs, which are currently 50%. And so he wants them to come down to 10%. And President Trump and President Lula got along fairly well in that phone call. That makes me think something like that could happen, and we would start getting Brazilian beef back in as well. And so those two things I could see happening here, maybe even in the month of November. But the one thing in all the other 4 years like this one, we tended to get that rally, and then we failed into December. And then, of course, the longer it takes into November, if this occurs, it would probably last on in through January as well.
Great comments. Thanks so much. Sue Martin joining us today. Sue is with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. Quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Wednesday version of the Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.